Are you an Alaskanian and don't know why you're there? Do you find yourself continuously waiting for a sunset but never getting one? Do you want the option to spend all your oil money on something more than dogs, sleds, or dog sleds? Are you tired of seeing Russia from your front door? Then try America, the original edition. It's time for The Ramen Noodle, episode 182.
Nobody can blame ya. There's only one life worth living. They may try and shame ya, 'cause it cracks them up to see an amateur like you. But you gotta be your own kind of noodle. Add your own seasoning. Be your own kind of noodle, even if nobody else laughs along.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ramen Noodle Clean Comedy Podcast. I'm Daniel J. Lewis.
I'm Jeremy Laughlin.
Thank you for listening and thank you for joining us. Hey, I just got a new inspiration. And just before we recorded this episode, Jeremy, you inspired me about my hair. You inspired my hair.
Well, okay. I did greet your hair when I got here tonight.
Yeah, it's like it's its own entity now, which readers of XKCD wouldn't be too unfamiliar with that anyway.
Oh.
Or no, not XKCD. Left-Handed Tunes. That's the comic. Left-Handed Tunes. One of the characters talks to his beard.
Even less known to me.
Well, I have a new idea for my head hair.
Your head hair?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for making that distinction.
Because this isn't an idea for my chest hair or my back hair.
Okay.
And you'll find out why
cool.
in just a moment.
Cool.
I've previously said that I'm letting this grow out to like Rumpelstiltskin length, however long Rumpelstiltskin is. And then I'll keep my hair until I run out of shampoo, at which point we'll shave it all off and I'll go bald. And I'll be like really cool then or something like that or something. I'll just imagine that I'm cool. Like I'll start wearing black suits all the time or something. I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. But I had an idea. And you inspired it before
Good.
I shave my hair and before I run out of shampoo. What I should do is, while my hair is still longer, dye it. Like, not go on a diet.
That won't lose weight
at all. Well, actually, I have caught some marriage pounds, which I never thought I would.
Marriage pounds?
Yeah.
Are you pregnant?
No, not yet.
Oh.
But, and we're not really trying, but one of the things that I could do is dye my hair and then get it cut so I can see how I look with dark, longer hair and then how I look with dark, shorter hair. So I can look a little bit like Captain Hook or Colin O'Donoghue from Once Upon a Time, oncepodcast.com. And then I might like be really cool. And we could even try like the guy shadow or guy liner on me too. And I'll just walk around in a British accent and say, like,
the guy shadow. No, you are not doing these things.
Guy shadow by CoverGirl.
That's amazing.
But at least consider dyeing my hair, because I've thought before about dyeing my hair. I actually have. I've wondered what I would look like with black hair.
You know who wears a lot of guy shadow? Alaskanians.
You know who's an Alaskanian?
Your mom.
Oh, I wanted to beat you to it because I could tell your mouth was starting to move and that your mom.
Jinx!
It's kind of like.
Jinx again!
No. Oh, but so I think what I'll do is I'll dye my hair, then I'll cut it shorter, then see how I look for a few days or a couple weeks with shorter. Dark hair. A
couple hours, depending on how bad it is.
There might not be any photographic evidence. And then I'll shave it all off.
Okay.
I might do something even crazier then. If you have crazy suggestions, leave a comment on the show notes over at cleancomedypodcast.com/182.
I predict that after you shave your head, you're going to decide to grow it back. Well, your hair, not your head, because your head will still be there. After you shave your head hair off of your head, if we're going to get more precise, I think you'll grow it back. Because I think you'll be like, not as bald as I thought. Not as I miss my hair.
Bald as I thought.
Mm-hmm. That's my prediction.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, the thought of not having to shampoo anymore, just being able to rub soap over my head. I mean, that sounds great. I like that idea. Although I might have to shampoo my beard.
You're going to have to put like some guy powder on your head to keep it from shining.
Baby powder.
No.
Shine, forehead shine.
Oh my gosh.
Let your glory.
That's happening right now.
Blind us all. Shine.
No.
Bald head shine.
No.
Well,
no.
Let's move on to the next hairy topic.
Yeah, no.
We had a hairy intruder in our house just recently.
Wow. Did you?
Yeah.
And, oh, I know what this is.
And this was pretty scary for my wife, not for me. It was a bat. We've never had a bat in our house
but
before.
But see, I mean, it might be worse than what you think. What if it was a vampire?
Well, it could. I don't know.
Maybe Lucy's a vampire. Was Lucy around at the time?
Yes, she was.
Okay.
She was watching the bat. Well, Jenny and I were having a fire that night. We enjoy having fires. And also, I still have... You remember the storm of 2009?
You still have parts of that tree?
2008. Not the tree, but the fence.
Oh.
That what happened is back in 2008.
The toxic-ish pressure treated wood that you probably now burn.
Yeah.
And the smoke of which you breathe.
Well, I saved all of the wood.
Worse for you than funeral home smoke.
Oh, yeah. It also doubles as funeral home stuff. We have our own crematorium down here, and we make our own ice cream and stuff in the crematorium.
No.
That's what Cold Stone crematorium
is. Even bring this up? That's not even a word. Just...
Crematoria?
No.
That sounds like a mall. The Galleria, the crematoria. Listen to episode 181 if you don't know what we're talking about.
Or why we're talking about it.
If you don't know why we're talking about
just stop listening. You're right. If you listen to episode 181, you'll know what we're talking about. You still won't know why we're talking about it.
Exactly. It's things that go, huh, in the night. But speaking of things that go bump in the night, this bat somehow got into our house. My theory is it came in through the chimney while I was working on building a little fire and walked away or something. And I'm using this wood from our old fence that broke down from a storm. But you've previously heard the story of Jenny and I can't remember what episode this was, but Jenny and I had this heated discussion one time and it was interrupted by our dog.
I'm sorry, I'm still looking up crematorium and you said heated and that just, it actually is, you were right. You were saying it right.
Well, our dog previously interrupted a heated discussion by going. Mm.
Please stop making that sound. Cage.
And this time we ended up on a passionate discussion and we were interrupted by a bat in our house. No, that's the thing. It's really weird. You don't hear it at all.
Well, that's because you don't have dog ears.
That's true. Jenny was kind of freaking out with this. And of course, being a girl, she was thinking the bat, I don't want the bat to land in my hair or anything like that.
You weren't thinking that too?
Well, actually, because my hair, no, I was. But I wasn't thinking very clearly because I've never thought, what am I going to do if a bat comes in the house? Well, now I know. But I just grabbed a pillow and my thought was to shoo it out of the room.
Shoo, bat, shoo. And it would have said in bat ease, no, stupid human, that's a pillow, not a shoe.
Well, I didn't realize that it would be a bad thing to make it leave the room because bats have a habit of hiding.
Wait, where is this going?
Well, the bat was going out of the room. It did leave the room and around the same time that Jenny did. So she was kind of freaking out about that. That was kind of following her or she was following it. I'm not sure who was getting freaked out by whom. But this bat was flying around and I was trying to figure out, okay, I need to catch this or get it out of the house or something like that. And then I went upstairs, grabbed Annette, came back.
Annette was here?
Yeah.
How is
she?
She's
great for using to catch bats. Just swing her around, round and round.
Oh, gosh.
And then like she catches bats. She just opens her mouth and goes,
oh, wow,
on the bats.
I knew that girl could eat.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
She's got a great metabolism, too. It's all that flapping that she does. Well, I grabbed our pool net, which is the only net I could think of that we had in the house to try and catch this bat. I came back in and it disappeared. We couldn't find this. We spent, I think, 2 or 3 hours looking for this bat. Could not find it anywhere in the house. We didn't have any open windows or doors that don't have screens on them. So there's no way for it to get in that way or get out.
You know, love is an open door.
Right. And we didn't have love for this bat. So love was a closed door with it.
No.
And we just had to make the decision of we can't find this.
Mm.
We're going to have to just let it go.
Well, I have a theory about this, but continue.
And so we decided to just go ahead and go to sleep with this bat somewhere in our house.
Suddenly I'm imagining, like, if this were a TV show, there's an overhead shot and it pans from one side of the bed to the other, and it's you to your head on a pillow and you're sleeping, and Jenny's over there, but right in between you is the little bat all curled up, and just its head is also resting on one of your pillows, and just it's just asleep as well, and it's just under the covers. It has become your child.
We have to nurse it and everything.
No, that's strange.
And put it to bed, which is what we call going to bat, right?
What? That was weird. Okay, so do you want to hear my theory?
What's your theory? Because I'm not finished with my story, but tell me.
No. Actually, I want to hear the rest of the story. I want to test it against my theory.
Okay.
See if it holds up.
So Jenny posted this on her Facebook wall, and yes, my sister-in-law posted something back saying, "What? You went to sleep knowing there's a bat in your house? I would be freaking out." She sounded like she was freaking out anyway, just thinking about it. But we had no choice. We could not find this thing. We were looking all over the place. Here's what's even worse. This was a nice day, so we had the windows open. We had every window open. Not the screens were down, but we had every window open. Every door in the house was open. Even some of the closet doors were open. So this bat had almost everywhere in the house where it could possibly go to hang out. And we had no idea where this thing could be. So we emptied a couple closets. We kept looking in places, kept checking things, looking for hours for this bat. Just decided to go to sleep, look for it the next day. The next day, I looked around because I did some reading online, read stuff about rabies, read some stuff about rubies, thought about some things about rubies, and thinking about pink fluffy unicorns and stuff. And then I went looking for bat poop or Mary Kay makeup, whichever one it was in whatever state of the bat poop that it was.
Okay.
Was it called escargot? No,
I think it's called guy shadow.
Yeah, that's what it is. Guys take bat poop and rub it on. Hey, that's manly makeup, actually. Or maybe boyish makeup. To rub poop on yourself. That's more a boy thing, not a manly thing.
Did Sergeant Packett help you figure that out?
No, I figured that one out all on my own.
Oh, well, he'd be proud.
So I didn't find any poop, couldn't find any evidence. Don't quote me on that one out of context. No, you will. A lot of things are fun outside of context. So I just had to keep working that day. I had a very busy day anyway. Jenny also looked around in some places trying to look for this bat. Could not find it anywhere. And around 8:30 at night, Jenny is playing Minecraft. I'm on the couch reading or answering emails or something. And Jenny screams. Not like a blood-curdling scream or a cheese-curdling scream or a cottage cheese kind of scream. But this was just a, ah! Or not even like that. But it was a scream. It was just, trust me on that. It was a, I saw a bat kind of scream.
Can you get Jenny to record a scream and insert it into the recording in post?
No.
Okay.
But instead, we do
imagine
have this.
Imagine it, though. I'm sure that was about the same.
Maybe.
I'm sure that was the same.
So this time I knew more stuff about catching bats because I read up on it the night before. Stuff like if you can knock the bat to the ground because they have a hard time getting off the ground.
That sounds really mean.
It gives you a little bit, like just gently knock it. Or if you have a coffee can, everything said, take a coffee can and if the bat is perching somewhere, catch it with a coffee can. Well, we don't have a coffee can like that, so we couldn't really use it.
Good coffee doesn't come in cans.
yeah, maybe a coffee bag or something else, or just like a bag of sugar. Just take that and pound it into the, I don't know, sweet bat.
Just get a mallet if you don't have a coffee can and try to trap it on the end of the mallet by spreading it evenly around the end.
Exactly.
That's gross.
So we found this thing. I bumped it to the ground with a pillow, and our dog is going crazy because she thinks this is new chew toy, new chew toy.
Yes, play, Lucy. New chew toy.
Had to get our dog away from it, and also thinking about there's a possibility this thing could have rabies, but we also want the mosquitoes to die outside. So everything I read said, don't kill it or anything like that. These are good creatures to have around.
There are only 10 bats left in the world, so definitely don't kill it. Make sure it's out there to eat the mosquitoes.
Right. And so we caught it. I took it outside, let it go. The couple times I knocked it to the ground, those articles that said bats have a hard time getting off the ground, they'll hop a few times before they end up making it, they were wrong.
Oh, really?
This bat had no problem whatsoever getting off the ground.
Maybe you just didn't do it properly.
What am I supposed
to
do?
Did you just at me?
Yes, I did. Okay. How do you properly knock a bat to the ground?
Well, you must use a denser pillow.
Is it kind of like if you get a car by the back wheels, it makes it spin out? Is that what I was supposed to do? Bump the bat's back foot or something, and that would make it spin out?
Yeah, and if you can't, even safer is if you can shoot its back tire. Wait, do bats have tires? I've lost track.
Yes, they do.
Okay, yes. Okay, so if you can shoot out its back tire.
So I did get it to the ground a couple of times, or wrestled it to the ground because I'm a black belt, and then got it in a net. And it was a cute little thing. And Jenny started saying, oh, it's so cute. And
oh, dear.
I had to remind her, we're not keeping this as a pet. The last time we found a rodent in our house, it was a mouse that I caught. Just, I saw it run across the ground and I managed to catch it. She kept it as a pet and then it promptly died. But I kept telling her, that thing has diseases. This is not a pet. This is not a chew toy. This is not a thing to keep in our house. You hate these things, remember? But anyway, this bat was really cute too, and I told her, we are not keeping this as a pet. But I let that thing out, and it immediately flew off, had a great day, you know, thanked me. It made like a bat and flew away, literally.
Whoa.
That was meta.
You're meta.
When this was all finished, my first thought was, oh, we should have videotaped this.
Yeah.
That would have been a lot more fun. So what's your theory?
Well, I'm not sure it holds up as much now that you caught it. But my thought is that it might be a manifestation of Jenny's subconscious.
What? What are you saying about my wife, Jenny?
Well, she plays a lot of Minecraft.
There's a comma in there, by the way. What are you saying about my wife, comma, Jeremy?
Awkward. Okay, awkward. Yeah, so Minecraft has a lot of bats in the caves that she likes to explore.
Uh-huh.
So they could be on her mind quite easily. And if you were driving her batty, well.
And if she's got bats in the belfry? Or is it
right.
Bells in the Batfree? No, that's another fun, clean comedy podcast, but bats in the belfry. Yeah.
Right. So one of them could have come out. And that would be why it left the room when she did, or vice versa.
I should ask her, Jenny, have you not seen your reflection in any spheres lately?
I didn't mean that she turned into the bat, of course. They were in the same room.
That's a really inside joke. Sometime if you want your brain to be boiled and you want to be really annoyed by some annoying personalities.
Oh, I wake up thinking that most days.
Watch the movie Sphere. It's kind of freaky, but watch it. And this story that Jeremy's telling then will make a lot more sense.
Interesting. I'll have to watch it so my own story will make a lot more sense. But yeah, and so it could still be true, because catching it could mean, you know, various stages of progression inside her own mind. And then when it died, it simply was no longer needed because she was at peace.
Now you're talking about the movie Identity.
Am I?
I think
I'm just talking.
But you know what? I think you might be right about the manifestations thing, because earlier that evening, there was a massive explosion outside somewhere. It sounded like an explosion. We had a thunderstorm. But
was this when your discussion began?
No, this was the day after.
Oh.
This didn't sound like just lightning or thunder. This sounded like something exploded.
Or landed.
A creeper.
A creeper.
Maybe a creeper blew up outside, and that's what we heard.
Also a manifestation of Jenny's mind.
Exactly. And today, someone knocked on the door.
Oh, my gosh. A zombie.
Oh, my gosh.
Were they trying to get in? Or was it me?
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't you. So now it makes total sense when I tell Jenny, don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. Because then they're over here.
Oh,
my gosh. This is making total sense.
That's an Enderman.
The next thing is someone's going to be shooting arrows at us.
And rattling.
Yeah. And there will be giant spiders. Now, Jenny already dreams of giant spiders.
Well, good thing those spiders aren't real.
Which is partially inspired probably by our ceiling fan in the bedroom that can look like a spider, maybe.
Ooh, that's a creepy. Ew, now I'm imagining ceiling fans turning to spiders and descending.
So that is our bat attack story.
Wow.
While the bat was here, I was thinking about someone we both know.
Oh?
Your brother.
Okay.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far, far away.
Jinx again!
And shut up. Your brother had some hilarious bat story. And I told him, oh, how about you come over sometime and be on the podcast with Jeremy and I, and you could tell that bat story. It never happened.
My goodness. I didn't know he was invited to.
That's what happens. When guys get married, they can no longer be like showing up for stuff. I mean,
that was.
Let me say it differently.
Well communicated.
And they can no longer communicate what they're thinking anymore. At least that's what we hear. We were never told we weren't communicating well until we got married. So guys become bad communicators once they get married. And it makes sense. What's the first thing that goes when a guy sees a beautiful woman? It's just, he loses control of his mouth. It's just, you're pretty. You know, that's what happens with the guy. And so after you get married, then that just kind of carries over and your communication is gone.
Okay. And well, that's a good explanation.
It takes special marriage counseling to get that communication back.
Also known as speech class.
Speaking of counseling, I think we might have someone here who needs some counseling.
Is the bat that traumatic?
Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring, hello? Ring, ring.
You have a bad connection.
Maybe someday we'll have the 24-hour version of that bumper. It'll just keep going, ring, ring, hello.
That would be amazing.
Over and over and over and over.
A YouTube special, the 24-hour version. You also have to have the 10-hour edition.
Jenny was watching Nyan Cat today. She started Nyan Cat, left her computer, sat down with her Bible in her lap, and I asked her, you're not really going to have your devotions with Nyan Cat in the background.
What is Nyan Cat?
You don't know what Nyan Cat is?
No.
It's the cat that's fart, that looks like a
it's fart?
Almost. It's the cat that looks like a toaster treat, and it's farting this rainbow in the background, and the music goes, meow, 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 something like that. That's about as good as it gets. But look it up sometime, Nyan Cat. There have been, I don't know what came first, the video game or the Nyan Cat version?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'll enjoy it.
The Nyan Cat is the thing. It's a little animated thing, and we'll have this in the show notes. So, that's Nyan Cat.
All right.
In case you wanted to be tortured by that. That'll be in the show notes, by the way, if you want to watch that. But, yeah, Jenny, I thought, I was worried that maybe she had the 24-hour or 10-hour version playing on her computer. She was going to read God's word with Nyan Cat in the background. I mean, she did say she's in Leviticus right now, which is one of the hardest books of the Bible to read.
Yeah.
It's one of the most boring. And certainly Nyan Cat in the background would do a lot better. Imagine if pastors who had to preach from the book of Leviticus, or Leviticus, as some would say it, play
only
Nyan Cat.
Alaska. Only the Alaskinians would say that.
And they play Nyan Cat in the background while they're preaching about Leviticus. I think that would make sermons so much more relevant to today's culture.
I think that's very strange. I would like it as a ringtone at this point. I would also like to hear it again.
Oh, good grief. Well, before we play that.
No, play it right now. Right now.
Okay, that's enough. But anyway, speaking of voicemail.
Were we speaking of voicemail?
Well, that's what this segment was supposed to be for. Oh,
hey, voicemail, hey!
We got this message
that was weird.
In recently from Brittany.
Hi, Queen Comedy Podcast. My name is Brittany, and I'm calling for the ramen noodle. So I have a story for you. When I was 15, I went to this youth camp. We were going to Six Flags, and I was kind of scared of roller coasters, but I was warming up to them every year that I went to this camp. So this year, I decided I was going to ride all of the rides, and I was so excited, and so I did. I rode all of the rides, all of the roller coasters, everything, like nothing. I didn't want anything to scare me, so I just rode everything. And
even the water fountains, those little pools where everyone throws the pennies in, she rode all of those.
Well, good.
Everything was great. We were taking this tour bus on our way back to camp from Six Flags. And it was a nice tour bus. There was like TVs on every seat.
A chicken in every pot.
And they were playing some movie. And I was with some friends, and we were talking and stuff, and I started to feel kind of sick. So I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to lay down, and I'll feel better. Well, that didn't work. And so I told my friend, I was like, dude, I'm like really not feeling good. And so he's like, well, why don't you switch seats with one of the leaders in the back, and you'll be near to the bathroom just in case you need to get there and stuff. So I was like, okay, that's a great idea. So I go and switch seats with this girl
switch
in the
feet.
Back, and I end up sitting next to this guy. He was about 18, so just a few years older than me. He was just helping out with this camp. I kind of thought he was cute, but I was like, whatever, I'm not feeling good, so I'm just going to lay down. I was trying to go to sleep, and then I knew, like, I was going to start throwing up. I started to get up, and I just, like, felt it coming, and I covered my mouth, and I just started throwing up all over the bus.
What just, no.
Hold on, that wasn't there earlier.
What? I thought you were doing that. I didn't know why you were doing that.
Here's the thing. I have to stop this right now because I didn't know that was in there. But I've heard this voicemail before.
Okay.
I sent this voicemail to our editor, John, who, and I asked him, can you please cut this up a little bit, enhance the audio a little? And he gave me two versions back. One said edited, and the other said with sound effects mixed down. And I listened to the two of them, and the volume of the one with sound effects was better. So I thought, okay, you're calling it, you ran some effects on it, enhanced the audio, and you're calling it with sound effects. Okay. That's fine. It sounds better. So that's the one I loaded in. I never listened to the whole thing.
That's awesome.
So that's the one I loaded into the soundboard, not knowing at all there was a vomit sound.
Oh, I thought it was just somebody speaking French in the background.
No, that's the way it actually was in the,
just kidding.
In the recording that he gave me. So sorry about that, if that made you toss your own cookies. Let's just pick this back up.
I felt it coming, and I covered my mouth, and I just started throwing up all over the bus. And the guy that was next to me...
All over the bus? So you ran up to the front and threw up on the bus driver. Maybe filled the little stairwell that goes out the door. And then you ran to the back, just kind of spraying one side, and then ran back to the front, spraying the other, and went back to the back. Okay, I'm done.
Instead of throwing someone under the bus, this is throwing up in the bus.
Indeed it is. Throwing someone up in... Never mind. That would require cannibalism.
Throwing
first.
Up someone in the bus.
Right.
That's the new phrase.
No, it's not. But that's good.
jumped the seat and, like, went over to the row in front of him, and I, like, threw up so much. It was so propelled that I hit the window on the other side of the bus.
Now, the first time she said that, remember, she told us at the beginning of the story, she's in the back of the bus. And she said she hit the window on the other side of the bus. I'm thinking like the front window.
No. Breaks the window. Yeah. That's disgusting. I'm so glad to know this story.
It was so bad. It was dripping off the walls and people were freaking out. And I was just like, I don't feel good. Then the main leader of the camp came back. He was so sweet. He just put his arms around me and he was like, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. So we got to camp. Thankfully, we were driving on campus as I was throwing up, so we weren't sitting in this bus forever with all my throw up everywhere. So that's my story. So I guess, I don't know what the moral of the story would be, but just be careful when you go to Six Flags and ride all the rides.
Actually, I would say the moral of the story is learn how to talk to cute boys a little bit better.
So guys might not be able to talk to girls very well, but at least we're not throwing up all over them. I'm just kidding.
I think you're cute.
Does this happen often?
Would you go with me to prom?
Oh, I'm glad you weren't trapped on the bus, but part of me, I gotta be honest, is thinking, oh, just a few more minutes and you would have been off the bus and outside.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is actually, just in case, when you get to a camp property, just get out and walk the last mile.
This sounds like what always happens in those teenage love story movies, where it's the cute girl finally gets noticed by the cute boy just in time for something extremely embarrassing to happen at that exact moment. That's what happens. So, Brittany, you are living a teen
girl
romance
squad
drama.
Oh, wait. No.
A teen romance drama. I mean, someone could make a movie about you. It could be Throwing Up in the Bus, the movie. Just think about it.
That's no.
And with a name like Brittany, that's totally a name.
That's totally a name. Good job.
A name that works well for like a main female character in a high school movie.
That is true. So let's think about something other than vomit, shall we?
I mean, there's that movie, Diarrhea of a Wimpy Kid.
No,
there's this movie, then Vomit of a Cute Girl or something like that.
No, that's awkward.
Vomit on a cute guy? I don't know.
Also awkward.
So thank you, Brittany, for sending that.
That's awkward. Just kidding. Thank you, Brittany.
Sorry about the sound effects.
Ooh, I'm not. But see, you see what it's like when you're caught off guard, because that's definitely something you would do.
Almost, yeah. But I would, like, I was planning to make the sound myself, and I heard it. And the first thought that went through my mind was, wait, I'm not making that sound right now, am I?
You know, now that you say it, I think that for a moment I thought you were. And then I looked at you and you weren't.
Oh, that's got to be creepy.
It was very strange. I just wanted you to stop.
The other
but
thing,
you looked as out of control as I felt.
The other thing I thought was, when I listened to this voicemail earlier today and reviewed it, after I listened to it and thought, oh, that's a great one, I'm going to use this, I started thinking, how am I going to tie this, and what would I say? It's like, oh, you're a cute boy, and that. And I, one of the other thoughts then that went through my mind when that played in the voicemail was, did it record me doing that? And somehow I've got two recordings playing here, one of me just making a vomit sound.
Wow.
That's, yeah. I'm never going to play a sound without listening to it fully again. That was complete with the whole splashing noise, too.
I know.
That's almost a worse sound, I think, that splashing noise. And it is almost more sickening than the heaving sounds.
Because it's proof that there actually is something coming out.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, in old-fashioned movies where they couldn't afford special effects, someone would go, bleh! And you just hear nothing. It was like the rated G version of vomit.
PG.
Okay, PG version of vomit. But now with special effects, they can do all kinds of other stuff and actually make the sound where you get to hear the chunks fall on the ground or splash in the toilet or whatever goddess you sacrifice to with your
meal. A weird thing to say. So we've reached that point in the ramen noodle where all we're talking about is stuff in the bathroom.
Okay, so then let's move on.
Okay.
Flush that, drink some water, swish some mouthwash.
No, I don't want to think about being sick anymore. Stop.
Well.
Stop.
How about dead people?
Play Nyan Cat.
No. It's time for the Amazonian noodle.
Oh, good. I love this. Except it's often about toilets and throwing up.
Well, no, this one isn't about either of those, unless it's maybe someone who threw up too much or used the toilet too much. This is one of the newer books in the great series for dummies books. You know those books? I've read a couple of the Four Dummies books. It was very confusing. And here is now, in case you've been wondering, in case you've wanted to learn this, in case this is your area of study, or in case you're just simply inspired by certain television shows, Forensics for Dummies.
Cool.
Available from Amazon.com. This says, a plain English primer, or primer, if you prefer to mispronounce it.
Oh, I do.
On crime scene investigation that's a must for fans of CSI or Patricia Cornwell. Since the O.J. Simpson case, popular interest in forensic science has exploded. I don't know what orange juice has to do with that. CBS's CSI has 16 to 26 million viewers every week, and Patricia Cornwell's novels featuring a medical examiner sleuth routinely top bestseller lists. Cite just a few examples. Now everyone can get the lowdown on the science behind crime scene investigations using lots of fascinating case studies, forensics experts, Dr. D.P. Lyle clues people in on everything from determining cause and time of death to fingerprints, fibers, blood, ballistics, forensic computing, and forensic psychology.
That's disgusting.
I think this needs to come with your own little do-it-yourself kit.
Well,
like, this is probably a follow-up to the best-selling book Murder for Dummies and other such things.
Murder for Dummies?
Manslaughter for Dummies.
Okay.
Accidental Dismemberment for Dummies.
Dumbies?
Dumbies. So this is a way that then you can practice forensics on your friends.
Forensics.
Impress everybody
with
at
your
the party.
Fingerprints.
And your ability to collect fingerprints and to sketch a dead body on the ground, which is very difficult if you're working with carpet. I mean, to learn how to use chalk on carpet takes massive skill. So that's why you should check out forensics. That's one of those words that just doesn't sound right to me anymore.
Forensics. Nope.
Forensics.
But wow.
I can't say it.
Making it harder than it's got to be.
For CSI at home for dummies.
CSI.
Forensics. I said it. I'm not going to try and say it again. You'd think that the reviews for this product would be hilarious, but no, they're all just.
I was looking for something funny, and the closest I came was thinking for a moment that someone said something about giving it to a toddler, but I read it wrong.
No, it said a college student. I know those are very similar.
I know. It's true.
It's a quick reference for a multitude of issues. It is well organized and easy to read. Concepts are explained clearly.
And the lowest it has is 3-star review, and it only has one.
A wide range of forensic topics are explored, including investigating the crime lab, assessing the scene of the crime, getting a grip on fingerprints, analyzing bloodstain patterns, which is something you need every day. And what's the deal with DNA? You know what? You know who needs this?
Humans need DNA.
Yeah, besides that.
As do animals.
You know who needs this book?
Your mom?
Exactly. Mothers need this book for when their kids say, no, he did it. No, she did it. Then she can pull out her little book, Forensics for Dummies. And maybe they'll have a special edition later on that's Forensics for Moms and the 5 Love Languages of Forensics for Teens or something like that. You know, do the whole series and the complete study
Chicken
guide and
soup
Sunday school
for the forensic soul.
Yes, exactly.
There, the 3-star review says, it is a little basic, but does clear up some issues with TV forensics, but definitely a good starting place. Okay, if you're trying to clear up issues with TV forensics, I feel like basic is probably as far as you should go, unless you have way too much time. Now, if you're interested in pursuing forensics, fine.
If you're interested in making forensics, then maybe talk to your mom about that first.
Oh, dear.
Or just watch Nyan Cat a little bit. And then, well, maybe you'll really feel like...
loud Nyan.
Watching Nyan, you'll be absorbed in it and won't do anything else in your life, and you'll die, kind of like the dancing snake in an old pick-your-own-destination book. If you know what book I'm talking about, that is so niche of a subject. If you know what book I'm talking about, then comment on the show notes.
A specific book or a type of book?
The specific book where, like, one of the possible endings was you watch this dancing snake on the screen and you break out in a rash and then, like, you die or something.
That's a silly book.
But so either that will happen when you watch Nyan Cat,
or
you will feel like going out and creating some forensics on some people.
No, that sounds terrible.
So no. One of those two things will happen.
Or on a bus. I think some were created on a bus. Uh-oh.
Hi, you're cute. You want to outline a dead body together? Now that the crematorium is burned down?
Dead body. Yes.
See, it all ties together. Suddenly, now people's minds are blown as we went from Frozen to hiding a body to Alaskanians to now forensics and vomit. It all ties together perfectly.
Some spots. It all ties together, though. You missed some spots. That's what they said when expecting the bus for the trip home.
Oh, if you want to send us some funny stories, like how you spread yourself out all over the bus or anything like that, especially, here's the thing, we want some stories about the beach themed in some way, stories from the beach, funny things that happen beach related, because Jenny and I are right now enjoying some beach, maybe catching some sun, playing in the water, battling sharks, anything like that at the beach, you know, the stuff that typical Americans do. Or John Lee Dumas does with the shark killing, then please send us your funny stories that are beach related or anything else, especially. But if you send us a funny story that's beach related, put beach in the subject line and email that to feedback@cleancomedypodcast.com or call and leave a voicemail at 903-231-2221 or send a voice message on your computer or iOS device right through the website cleancomedypodcast.com. And if this information has helped you become a forensic expert, it's an epic expert.
A forensic extrovert.
Then comment on the show notes at cleancomedypodcast.com/182 and let us know what you thought about this stuff. You can also connect with us on Twitter. I'm Daniel J. Lewis on Twitter at The Ramen Noodle.
I'm Jeremy Laughlin on Twitter at Phlegon. That is Phlegon.
And next time life makes you feel like an amateur, keep laughing because you're not the only dead body. I mean, because you're not the only one. And thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Nobody can blame ya. There's only one life worth living. They may try and shame ya. Cause it cracks them up to see an amateur like you.
The Ramen Noodle Clean Comedy Podcast is a proud member of Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, succeed at forensics, and more at noodle.mx.